Welcome to church. We're glad to have you here this afternoon. And whether you're sitting at home watching this all by yourself, or you have your family around you, or perhaps you're sitting with the life group, we just welcome you. You know, we are today entering into an unprecedented time in our country's history and actually the history of the world. These are times that where fear and uncertainty seem to abound. And we know that God hasn't called us to fear, but to faith in Him. But sometimes we feel that. And this is something that has never been in my lifetime. And I remember the times when we were looking at September 11th, 2001. And most of us who are of this generation and older remember that day. It's like fear and uncertainty abounded in those days. But the difference between that and this today is that that one was just in our nation. It wasn't worldwide. And yet, there are people in our congregation, there are people who may be sitting among you, some of our at-risk members, who would remember this day, a day that will live in infamy, Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. This ushered in the United States into a war that was a world war, and it encompassed the entire globe. And fear and uncertainty were abounding in that time as well. And then if you think beyond that, if you go back even a little bit further, you have people who endured the Great Depression. And that also was primarily related to our nation. But the fear and the struggle that took place for over 10 years in the Depression was something that was unprecedented at that time. And in each of these situations, one of the things we know is that God was in these times. He was caring for His people. And in fact, as we look at the coronavirus, COVID-19, as it's called today, we think about that and we ask ourselves the question, so why is this happening? What is going on? Why is the government doing what they're doing? And a lot of things that we were asked, I couldn't really answer. I don't know whether this is something that was planned or unplanned, whether it's an intention to attack our country or not attack our country. I don't think we have been given that information. However, we do know that our government has asked us to step and to shelter and to not be in groups of more than 10. And so because our scriptures tell us that the government was given to us by God and it was sent to us for our good, we have chosen to abide by their rules, their directives, so that we are not meeting in anything more than groups of 10. But one thing that we do know from this is that they have not prohibited us from meeting in groups of 10. They haven't prohibited us from meeting and worshiping together in our homes. They are not prohibiting us from sending out videos to our congregation and letting us worship together. And so that's exactly what we're going to be doing in the next several weeks. We will not have a service this week on March 22nd, and we will not have a service here on March 29th. On the 31st of March, we will re-examine where we're at, and hopefully by that time we have a few more answers on what's taking place. You know, we started an encouragement series several weeks ago, and by my understanding, this has been a divine series. This was planned well before anything we are looking at today was ever thought about. And yet God had this in mind. In fact, I want to encourage you the fact that God is not surprised by what's going on. He is not caught off guard. And He has already prepared us for these times, these encouragement series. In fact, we've been talking about encouragement and how encouragement is intended to bring us confidence in God. We've been talking about how encouragement also is intended to give us courage to trust God with our lives. And what better thing to be talking about in these times than courage to trust God with what's happening in our lives, no matter what that is. We've also seen in our series, we know that God is a source of all encouragement. He is the one who brings encouragement to us. He brings faith. He brings trust in Him to us. And so He's our source. He's the one we look to. And He gives us that source by talking through His promises that come in the scriptures, the encouragement of His promises, knowing that when God says He will never leave us or forsake us, He means it. When He says, I will be with you and I'll take care of you no matter what, just put your hand to the plow and work for my kingdom. And so the promises of God bring us encouragement. We also know that we are to encourage one another. And that's the reason I have encouraged you, if you are able, to meet together in small groups or in a life group. I know that many of you do not feel comfortable with that, and if that's the case, we just encourage you to stay at home and be with your family and just care for yourself, because that's where it needs to be. We also know that there are at-risk people in our congregation, and we don't want them also to feel like they have to meet with anybody. But those who feel like they can, we encourage you to meet. But also, to encourage one another, I want to remind you that the Spirit of God is not limited by this directive to not gather. He's not limited by the virus. He is able to work in each one of our lives, and He does. In fact, I want to encourage you to remember that when God gives you a name in your mind, that He's intending for you to make a contact with that person, call them, or go see them face to face, or spend some time praying for them and telling them you're praying for them, or pick up the phone and call them and ask them, what can you pray for them about? And at the same time, I want you to remember that when you are out among people in the grocery store or the pharmacy, it's a great time to talk to people and ask them how they're doing. And ask them if there's something you can pray for them about. And if they will allow you, pray for them right on the spot. In fact, if you're talking to someone on the phone and you're asking that question, what can I pray for you? Just take the time right there on the phone to pray and ask God to work in their lives. You see, the church was made for times like these. This is why the church was brought into place. It is in the times of crisis that the church shines the greatest, because we have the greatest hope of all. There are several stories I want to tell you today that come out of the book of Acts, and the first one is found in the book of Acts, in chapter 4. This is a story that you heard just 2 weeks ago from my friend Dan Lilly, and he was telling you the story about this man who was a cripple for 40 years, and then John and Peter came to the temple, and they healed him in the name of Jesus. And when that happened, the religious leaders came out of their shell, and they were mad at these two men, and they imprisoned them, and then they brought them before them, and they rebuked them, and they wanted to punish them. But John and Peter said, you know what? Whatever you do to us is fine, but we're not going to stop preaching and talking in the name of Jesus, because He is our hope. Well, they went back to their church, to the place where they were gathering, and this is what they said as they gave them a report of what had happened. They said, when the church heard the report, all of the believers lifted up their voices together in prayer to God. All of the believers lifted up their voices together. They started to talk to God about the things that were going on in their lives, about the concerns they had for the struggle they were going through. And also they were saying to God, we are looking to you, O sovereign God, creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They went through a long prayer, if you can read it in Acts, the 4th chapter. And if you get to the end of it, you'll find out that when they finished their prayer, it says that God shook the house that they were in, and He gave them great boldness to continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, it's in the crisis that we find ourselves most vulnerable, but most dependent upon God, and it is through prayer that we find the encouragement to trust God more and more. You see, prayer places our confidence in God and increases our courage to trust Him with our lives. That's what prayer does. Prayer is encouragement in its very essence. It is the thing that gives us confidence to trust God. The next story that I want to relate to comes out of the book of Acts, 14th chapter, and in Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey, the first time they left from Antioch of Syria and they traveled up into Asia Minor, they were going to different cities and they were talking to the people there. And it says that when they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, they strengthened the disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith. Isn't that interesting? That they encouraged those people that they had just planted a church in to remain true to the faith. And then they said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Evidently, those church members, those new believers, were going through hardships because of their faith. And Paul and Barnabas were saying to them, we want to strengthen you. We want to encourage you. We want you to remember that it is your faith, it is your trust in God that will hold you through all those things. It says in those verses that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Notice that Paul and Barnabas were encouraging these people to trust God, even in the crisis that was going on in their lives right then. God would say to us right now, I want to encourage you to encourage one another to trust me, even though you can't see the outcome of what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We have no clue. But we can trust God because he knows the end from the beginning, and he is not surprised by what's going on. The next story I want to relate to you is a story that comes from the second missionary journey of Paul, and this time he had not with Barnabas with him, but he had Silas with him. And they went into a town, I think it was Philippi, and as they were preaching in the streets, they ran into a woman who was a girl that was demon-possessed, and she was fortune-telling for her masters. And Paul said to the demons to come out of her, and he freed her from her demons. But then those men got really angry at him because that was their moneymaker. And so they put Paul and Silas in prison that night. And they did it. They didn't give him a trial. They just threw him in prison. They put him in stocks, and they let him sit down there overnight. And it says in Acts 16:25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Now, it's interesting that what would you be doing if you were sitting in a jail in stocks, waiting for whatever they were going to do to you the next day? Well, most of us would be probably not singing and praising God. But that's what Paul and Silas were doing. In the crisis, in the middle of the crisis, they were praying to the God who they trusted with their very lives. It's interesting, the story goes on, that what God did was he answered this prayer with an earthquake. An earthquake that shook the jail so much that the doors opened, the stocks fell off the prisoners, and the prisoners could have gone free except that Paul and Silas stopped them. And the jailer was ready to kill himself when he found out that the prisoners were still in the jail. He fell to his knees and asked Paul and Silas how he could be saved and he could know this God that they were singing and praying to. It tells us in those scriptures that this jailer and his whole family became Christians out of this crisis. You see, the crisis for Paul and Silas went through a prayer time and then a movement of God. And then as that movement of God occurred, we saw these people come to faith in Jesus Christ. I would say to Paul and Silas to say it was all worth it. It was worth every bit of it for these people to place their faith in Christ. So as we pray, we understand this, that we overcome the fear that's going on around us by our faith in God's promises. When we pray, we overcome fear. When we pray, we place our faith in God and his promises. That's what it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is one of my favorite verses, and I use it often when talking to people when we're dealing with the issues and struggles in their life. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Isn't it interesting that they use the word anxious there and other translations that uses the word worry? Well, those are just two really nice words for fear. Okay, he could really say, do not be fearful about anything. That's not one thing. That's not the coronavirus. That's not whether you're going to be laid off tomorrow. That's not whether you're going to have food or toilet paper or any other thing that you need to survive. He says, do not fear about anything. But then he goes on, he says, in everything, in every aspect of your life, every place where you are anxious and worried and fearful, he says, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to me. Tell me what you're anxious about, what you're fearful about. And then in your petition, a petition is asking for something. He says, tell me what's going on. Tell me what you need. And then, above all, thank me for what's going on in your life. You see, it's in the thanksgiving that we place our greatest confidence in God because we thank him without knowing what the end or the result is going to be of what's going on in our lives. He says, thank him and then present your request to God. He finishes it by saying this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Would you like the peace of God in your life today? Would you like God's peace? Well, the way you get God's peace is by presenting your request to God, by letting him know how anxious and worried you are, telling him all those things, and then thanking him for every one of those things that you are telling him you don't like in your life. Thank him for them. And he says the peace of God will transcend your life, and you will not be able to understand where it came from. He said that peace will guard your heart and your mind from Christ Jesus. Today, we listen to the news all the time, and all that's on the news is about COVID-19, the coronavirus. And as we look at that, we can become very fearful. We can become very uncertain and struggling with what's going on. And you see, our minds need a protector. They need a shield. They need a filter through which everything has to come. And so the filter really is this. The filter is God. So the filter for your life is God. So as you come to Him with all these things you're anxious about, every time you watch it on TV, if you'll simply pray about it, it'll filter what's going on in your life, and you will find the peace of God that transcends all understanding, become part of your minds, and it'll guard your what you're thinking about, and it'll guard how you feel in your heart. You see, we are in a series called Encouragement. And God is trying to encourage us. In fact, He's given us the greatest opportunity of our lives. It's an unprecedented opportunity. It's an opportunity to trust Him with something we can't figure out how to do. We have never been here before. Therefore, we are here to exercise our encouragement responsibilities. He's called us to encourage one another. So today, I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage those who are around you. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray with them. In fact, when we're done with this video today, I'm going to encourage you to take time with the group you're in, with your family, or even just with yourself, just to take some time to pray about all the things that you're fearful about, to pray for specific people in your lives, and then just to pray and ask God to just give you the peace that passes all understanding as you thank Him for what's going on. See, God never misses a beat. He's never caught off guard. And I want to remind you again that this is an unprecedented opportunity to talk to people in our community about what they're feeling in their lives. How are you feeling about this? Are you afraid? Well, why are you afraid? What can we do to help you? How can I pray for you? My God is able to help people when they pray to Him. Would you like me to pray with you to Him? And so it's an opportunity to share our hope, our faith, in a God who is over all things. It's that opportunity that we have right now. And it may be only for a few short weeks, but it may be for longer than that. We don't know. So we trust God, and we are encouraged to pray and find our encouragement in prayer. So would you pray with me as we conclude this video? Father God, I just thank You that You are in the business of encouraging us. You are the source of all encouragement. It is Your word that brings encouragement, and You give us the opportunity to encourage people. And it's through prayer that we do provide encouragement to people, and You encourage us through it as well. Lord, I pray that the peace of God would just fall upon all who are listening to this video as they thank You for this opportunity, as they thank You for the issues they're dealing with. Father, we also pray that You would give us many opportunities, new opportunities to talk to people about who You are and how much You love them and want to give them a new life in Jesus Christ. Would You bless our congregation as we seek to do that in these difficult and unprecedented times? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.